What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Get the Bag podcast, episode 6. I'm your host, Claudia Castro. Got my co-host, Tim Park.
Hey, fam. What's up?
What's up? Got a great topic we're going to discuss today. We get asked that a lot because whether you're just getting started wholesaling or maybe you've been in wholesaling for a while, you've at least have had to, you know, utilize this strategy or utilize this tool, so to speak, to close deals. So, but before we get into all those details, don't forget to follow us on IG. We got our IG handles, both of ours, and subscribe, like this video. Obviously, it always helps with the algorithm.
100%.
But yeah, tap in with us in that way. But today's topic is, what is transactional funding? Which, you know, in essence is also like double closing.
Right.
And so we're going to unpack what that means. How does it work? You know, when should it be used? Is it illegal? All those kinds of things. And so, you know, if you guys happen to have any questions, feel free to drop those in the chat. But I guess a question for you, Tim, is because, again, I think at some point in wholesaling, as you become more experienced, you start to understand these sort of terms.
Sure.
One being transactional funding / double close. Mm-hmm. But how would you define transactional funding?
Well, transactional funding is basically a short-term loan used to kind of close a real estate transaction. Mm-hmm. So basically, you would use those funds and then they would charge you like interest on that just for maybe a couple hours or even a day or so. Mm-hmm. I think it can go up to like maybe 5 days or something like that. But and then, you know, you can actually just close on that transaction. If you're not using your own money or if you don't have money, this is a great route to go if you need to double close.
Right. People don't really understand that because, you know, in a typical wholesaling operation, you know, you kind of do an assignment.
Right.
And the way it works, typically an assignment agreement, for those who are not aware, it's an A to B sort of transaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have A, who's the seller, B, who's the buyer. And as wholesalers, we're kind of a middle person. We typically start off as B. Right? So we get it under contract with the seller, but we're assigning those rights in the assignment or in the purchase agreement. We're assigning the rights to a new B, a new party B, so a new buyer. And so then we just close, and then whatever the difference is between the A and B, subtract that, you get that fee. So that's like the most simplistic terms. With transactional funding, it's a little bit different because there's a third party, so to speak. So you're still the A to B. You're still the B, right? Because you have it under contract. You're not assigning it in a transactional funding or a double close. You're not assigning the rights of that contract. You're actually moving forward to purchasing it. But on the other hand, you have that transactional funding to close, and then simultaneously, almost within the span of minutes, or it can be hours, you have the C person, the C party. That's your end buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the funds from there, you get is deducted from the funds that you use from the A to B. And then that difference you get, and then you probably pay off, you know, the person who lended you the transactional funding. It's either interest rates, or sometimes it's a fee, whatever. It just depends on who's lending you that money.
Right. That's correct.
So, you know, there's a little few moving pieces with that, but that is like kind of the most simplistic way in doing it. And I think it's important to understand that people can do that. Like, people have the option, and there's plenty of lenders or specific operations now that specifically just do transactional funding. Like, that's like literally what they do, because it's needed sometimes. And we'll break down in a little bit, like, when should it be used? But this is a really great way where you're like, you know, freaking out on like, hey, the seller's, you know, being a pain in the butt, dealing with this and that, or a buyer doesn't feel comfortable, you know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, when you're kind of deciding to do this, you have to have the end buyer ready. Like, you can't just do a transactional funding and then, you know, hope you find a buyer. Like, it happens like this. It's within the same day of closing. So the same kind of approach you do with an assignment where you're looking for a buyer, you're still processing it the same way. The only difference is, which I didn't mention this in the A to B, B to C, is you have to, instead of an assignment agreement with the buyer, you're sending the end buyer a actual purchase agreement. Because if when you think about it, you're not assigning the rights. Otherwise, that's an assignment. You're getting an assignment in that case. This is a full on, it's almost like two transactions going up at once. So you have the A to B and then the B to C, so to speak. So you have two purchase agreements happening in that instance. So that's one thing where I think people get sometimes confused with what that means in the double closing or when you need to use transactional funding.
Yeah, I think you know, a double close is just means you're closing twice, right? And you have a contract with the seller, like you said, and then also another contract with the buyer. And there's no really assignment fee because in transactional funding, you basically have the funding. You're just getting it from a third party, like you said. So that was a great, you know, description of how it's used and, you know, how it works and a good definition.
Yeah, so that's kind of the breakdown of how it works, how the transaction funding, like kind of the logistics of it, especially with it between the seller and the buyer. When should it be used? Now, this is a good one because there could be very diff several reasons. I think I mentioned earlier a difficult seller or difficult buyer. There's going to be those buyers in which you kind of learn, okay, maybe I don't want to work with this person. If they're counting your money, if the buyer especially is counting your money, it may be a problem. Not many, you know, it maybe depends on the market too. Like maybe California, some buyers are used to like, okay, wholesalers getting a six-figure deal. That's not, a big deal. But you know, if you're getting a 100K deal in like a really small market, I don't know, somewhere in Illinois or I don't know, like a really small market, maybe the buyers are feel a certain type of way, like they're getting cheated out. Anytime that happens, you don't want to really deal with that. And so that's a really good opportunity where you're like, okay, I'm just going to double close on it so that the buyer doesn't see my fee. And I think on the double close, it like correct me if I'm wrong in terms of how it's recorded. I don't think it's recorded as like a deed. I can't recall that.
I think you
But
own it for a brief hot minute.
yeah.
Like, you know, it is a double close, but you own it for a hot minute because it has to transfer again to the end buyer. So
Yeah, but I think in
in
terms of
title, right?
the deed, like the
Oh,
record, the
right.
property history, I don't think, well, sometimes I think it does show up, like your LLC. So it just depends on how it's like kind of executed. There's like different ways to do it. So what we kind of showed you is like the more common way. And we're kind of backtracking here, but another way too, is where technically it's a double close, but you don't need transactional funding. This specific method is very similar, but not every title company is comfortable doing it, at least not in California. I remember I tried, I was going to make a $30,000 fee on it on this deal. And but the sellers or yeah, the seller wanted to use their attorney, who's also a broker. So we were using the CAR form, and I was signing everything, but they were kind of giving me a big deal on it being assignable or whatever. And I used the response of like, hey, we have various different LLCs. We typically assign it. And so that wasn't a problem. But finding like a title company or calling around title company that actually did like and I think there's a specific word for it, but where you do where the end buyer's information pays or the end buyer's funds pays for the A to B. So it's like it's a single transaction in a way, right? So that's a kind of different flow of the double close. So you have the double close where you actually have to come in with transactional funding to close that the A to B, and then the end buyer comes in with their own funds, and then you get the difference. But another common thing, and again, it varies on how comfortable your title or escrow company is you just come in and tell the title company like, hey, I want to do a double close. Can we do it where the end buyer's funds basically pays for the A to B? And some, for the most part, some of them do. And I think it varies on markets, or a very specific title company. So this is why it's like having a really strong title company is key. So the end buyer's funds are basically paying for your A to B. So you don't have to do it's a double close, but it's not like your traditional where you're paying two separate closing costs. It's all just one. It's just the end buyer's funds. It's almost like a hybrid of like an assignment and double close, because the end buyer's funds are paying for everything, and then you just get the rest.
You
So
still would do two contracts, though. You wouldn't do an assignment on that still. So if
Right.
it,
So it's very, it's kind of like a hybrid, where you're not doing assignment, but the end buyer's funds is still paying for everything. So that's usually ideal, because you don't have to get transactional funding, but just be prepared that not every title company is okay with that. So this is good when you're vetting for title companies that you ask these sort of questions as well. So you kind of know what to expect, or like, okay, this title company is good for this, or if I want transactional funding, I go to this company, or this title company. So going back to when should it be used? I mean, clearly, I think I mentioned difficult sellers and buyers. Difficult sellers can be where they're like on you about everything. Or, they don't, you kind of get a feeling. Typically, from what we've learned is like, hey, if you're getting an assignment agreement of over 20,000, you should always just double close it just to be safe. And I agree. I think, again, you don't want to have any issues. You don't want to lose the deal. So double, a lot of people kind of do this in general, a lot with their transactions. But anything over 20,000, you typically should double close it, unless you have that really great relationship with the buyer, and even the seller, where you kind of set the expectations. Because at the end of the day, it's a win-win. The seller's walking away with a number that, works for them. The buyer, you're getting it to the buyer at a number that works for them, and obviously the wholesaler. But it doesn't always work that way when it comes to those large assignment fees.
Yeah, and I think especially here in California, like you said, title companies are kind of more restrictive on what they're going to do on a transaction. So transitional funding comes in a lot there. Plus, there's a lot more assignment fees associated with some of the deals that we do in California as well. So, you instead of making a $10,000 spread, you could make a $100,000 spread and or $200,000 spread, and you just double close because you just don't want the end buyer to know, how much you're making in the deal. But I'm usually upfront with them and, tell them just because I know my buyers and I talk to my buyers a lot, and they know that I'm a business too and that
You're
I'm
right.
going to, I have to make money too. So, and we've worked it out like before where, I'm making a certain amount and then they will say, they'll come back to me and say, hey, maybe on the next one, can you find me something, that it could be a little bit lower than what we wrapped this
Yeah.
one up with. So, it's just that communication with the buyer. And I think that's when you build rapport, like we always say, build rapport with the seller,
Right.
but you got to keep your buyers kind of happy and kind of nurture that
Relationship.
relationship a lot because they're ultimately your source of your income because you're feeding them deals and they're purchasing from you based on the relationship that you have.
You're adding value to their business and their operations. Mm-hmm. So, and we talk a lot, and I know like that's something like definitely one of your strengths is like networking is working with buyers, brokers, like, and people want to do business with people they like. So if they gypped you, or, you know, maybe you were a little bit shady, like they're not going to want to work with you, or you're not going to want to work with them. So, it is important to keep them happy. But, you know, making sure it's like, it goes both ways, you know, where, you know, it's kind of a mutual understanding. But I think you brought up really great points in that, you know, building that rapport with the buyer and having that open communication. Not every buyer is built the same. No, we're not saying that. You may have this communication and then the buyer comes back with like, no, you know, this is not, you know, this isn't going to work out. And so then you would just like double close. And buyers may ask like, what was the, you know, fee, or, you know, and if they're literally harping, just know like, okay, this is my one deal. I'm just going to work with them and I'm never going to work with them again.
Right.
And it's unfortunate, but it happens a lot, especially in this business. And I think honestly, like you can use a double close or transactional funding in anything that where it's like, you can't assign something. Right.
Right.
So I think REOs or like foreclosure bank owned properties, I think you can do a double close on because you can't do an assignment on those specific ones. If you're buying some, you know, something that's listed, I think that's not assignable. Maybe the realtors, you know, don't feel comfortable doing that. Then you can certainly do a double close, I believe, and do a transactional funding that way. And I think that's it. There's probably various other ones, but these are like the more common ones that comes up. And the more common ones is like, you're getting a large assignment fee. Yeah. So just protect yourself. Just make it simple, especially if you have relationships with somebody who does transactional funding. And there's a few people who do. I think if you just go to transactional funding, besttransactionalfunding.com. And then I think there's like transactionalfunding.com. Those are really good website. Check out Bigger Pockets, Facebook groups, like just kind of post like who does transactional funding. Some states aren't covered. Like when I was kind of looking into some of them, like California isn't covered on some of them. So you just have to just kind of do your due diligence and kind of see what's available. But that's it's really simple as that.
No,
like I think we overcomplicate it sometimes.
Yeah, I think I think the thing is with transitional funding, it's you know, it's as needed, but you have to make sure there's a couple of things when you actually contact the, you know, these companies that want to do a transitional funding with, is that they like to have the seller and buyer already in place, right? So you have to provide that information. So you can't go to transitional funding if you don't have those things in place. So
that's a good point.
So there's some just basic stuff that you guys have to kind of understand before you approach a transactional funding company, right? Those are some key, because they're gonna ask, you know,
I think they'll ask for from what I've read, they ask for the proof of funds of your buyer. Because they're not just going to give you money for the deal if you don't have anybody in place. Like,
right.
And then in essence too, they'll give you a proof of funds to share to the seller, you know, whatever it is, as well, if that's what you need. But I mean, if you have the buyers, it should be fine. But typically you need something to give to them before they are able like to approve you for the transactional funding.
Right. Right. So it's, I think, you know, so there's some basic things, but when you do contact them, they'll kind of give you a checklist of things that you need to provide. And those are one of the main things, is that make sure you have a buyer, make sure you have proof of funds from the buyer, you know, and then, you know, sometimes they have their own escrow company too that they work with to make it the transition, so you don't have to go through yours, and they already know how that transaction is going to happen. So it's kind of up to your comfort level if you're going to go with their escrow company or title company or attorney, or you're going to go with yours to do the transaction. So,
yeah, exactly. Just kind of, you just have to kind of gauge like kind of what's going on. I know, there was, you're kind of working on one, where you would probably have to do a double close out here, right, in Cali.
Yeah.
And you were able to find, you know, just by asking around, right, like a really good title, a good title company that can do essentially a double close. And so it's just kind of understanding like, hey, maybe if there's a realtor involved or if there's somebody where you just want it just be a smooth, where you don't want to smooth transactions. You don't want people asking what's going on. It's just like, here's your money. And you just kind of get the rest. So I think, yeah, that's a really great point. And I think the biggest thing too, which there's been a lot of, kind of words out or, gossip out on like, it's illegal, like doing transactional funding or double closing is illegal. It's really not. I think it's just a preference. And I think they've mentioned it illegal or it's not good practice because it was taken advantage of, especially after the whole short sale, the 2008 fiasco, when I was kind of looking into that, where very many title companies were like, we're not dealing with that because what people were investors were taking advantage of that. Using the transactional funding for REOs specifically or foreclosures, short sales, I think. So it's just, you know, just again, doing your due diligence, finding the right title company that understands the process, isn't going to like botch it up or, you know, mess it up for you, has done it before. And like I said, I think the only one where, you know, it, where there, it, where you do the double close without transactional funding, that's the one, common process where not every title company is comfortable doing, at least the ones I asked here in California, where they were like, no, we don't do the A, the B, and then the C party pays for the A to B contract, basically. So very many other markets do, like, actually I'm working on one in Florida. Shout out to my guy Chuck, we're working on one. And that's one where we're gonna double close because we listed it, we did a flat fee listing, and so a realtor is coming in with a buyer, so just to keep it things simple, we're you know, paying it through, we're doing the general, we're not giving transactional funding. We're just doing where the buyer party C is paying for the A to B, and then just get the rest. So you learn a lot just by taking action. And, you know, a lot of people usually have all these questions on like, hey, how does it work? You know, they want to know all the details, but like, just get something under contract and like, you know, you're going to know when it's like, you're going to need it. And obviously asking people on, you know, hey, like, do you guys recommend me doing this? Like, you know, what are some resources? And then they can, send you those resources, and then you can, because that's, I feel like that's the best way to understand the process, is to actually like go through it. But not many people, you know, feel comfortable or don't understand that, they want to overthink things. So just keep things going, keep working at it as like you're working an assignment agreement. If it comes up where the buyer and seller, or hey, there, like this realtor doesn't want to do an assignment, like just double close it, use a transactional funding. It's very, very straightforward. Again, as long as you have the buyer in place who's agreed to that purchase price, you send them a purchase agreement. You get their proof of funds from them. Typically, you want that anyways.
Yeah, 100%.
And if it's already a buyer that you know that you've worked with, they should have no problem sending you a proof of funds either. So you can do a transactional funding. And that's it. I mean, obviously, there's more little tiny bit things that go into place, but from a high level view, like that's what goes into transactional funding and like double closing.
Yeah. And, you know, getting into this business and wholesaling and just getting into real estate investing there, you know, we kind of opened a door for you guys on how to do deals, and you can do deals without your own money. This is just another aspect of closing a deal, which you wouldn't be able to if you, you know, didn't have the money yourself, right? So
Right.
this is another way for you to kind of utilize third-party funding. And, you know, they don't go by the credit, they go by, you know, the deal. And then if you have a buyer in place and they have proof of funds, and, you know, so it goes by that, right? So a lot of people are hesitant to get into this field just because of their credit or they don't have enough money. And, you know, we didn't start with really hardly any money.
Right.
And we started doing, you know, these deals that are, you know, tens of thousands. So it's definitely will change your life. And, you know, there's more ways to kind of get deals done. And I hope this, you know, this episode provided value for that.
Absolutely. And I think you brought up a really good point is I remember when I was dealing with that $30,000 possible fee, I had that because I was still fairly new. Had I known a little bit more, I probably would have just reached out to transactional funding, to be quite honest, to just get the deal done. But it ended up the deal ended up falling apart. The seller changed their mind because I think there was a lot of like back and forth with like the language, the contract and stuff. But you don't need money. Like you really don't need like, and that's how the wealthy move. That's the one thing I've learned is like, okay, I don't need my credit to be a certain part. I mean, you want it, you still want it at some point. Like wealthy people have really great credit, or they, they should. They utilize their debt, the debt to income ratio really, really well. But they don't use their own money. And that's the thing, even talking to some sellers where I mentioned like, yeah, we work with investors or lenders, and they're like, you don't use your own money. I'm like, why would I do that? Like, why would I take out a loan with this and like make the bank's money? That's always like a really good answer to an objection on that. But like, wealthy people don't want to use their money. So if I have to pay a interest rate for a day or a flat fee just to use somebody else's money to get $30,000, like, I'm doing that all day. So it's like, it's just shifting your mindset to that, there's other ways besides using your own money to close real estate deals, to, acquire your own. I think that's a big part in that process.
And it's and we learn every day. It's not a thing where we're not constantly learning. So there might
Right.
be another way to do a transaction. And I've learned so much just from jumping into real estate. So,
Right.
and you know, coming from a background where you thought you needed to borrow that money
Right.
from a bank to get a house, you know, and it just opens your eyes on, and then also just not open your eyes, but expands your thinking process to be open to other possibilities of doing deals or doing bigger deals or, you know, getting into multifamily or getting into, you know,
Right.
commercial. So it's
All the
just,
same process in a way.
100%.
Love it. Well, appreciate you guys who tuned in. I really hope you guys got a lot out of it, especially those who are starting out. And even those that who are experienced, like I want to hear kind of your stories, like share with us like how you've used transactional funding to like double close on some deals. Because I guarantee if you stick to through this business, you're gonna have to do that one way or another. Like double closing, because it's not always going to be the same. Like, not every deal is created equal. You're going to have those really smooth deals where assignment goes through successfully, but there's going to be other deals where you're going to have to literally jump through hoops, go through fire. It's going to be really difficult. So, really, I really hope you guys got a lot out of this. Please make sure like this video, subscribe, follow us, reach out to us on IG if you have any questions, want to get started into real estate. We have all our information in the show notes. I'll see if I can also add those specific transactional funding websites as well in the show notes so you guys can kind of reach out to them and kind of understand their process. I think the website I have used is they have really great articles to kind of like walk you through the process. So, yeah, guys, Hope you guys got a lot out of it. Next week should be a great topic as well. We'll be back next Wednesday, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week, great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys then.
All right. See you guys
later. Peace.